From Spark and Anvil and Cineforge, this is LOL in Chapter 1 of the Cineforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
The room had gone loud and bright and fast, and LOL reached out one small paw and pressed the button, and everything went soft. She was a little hedgehog, old and round and gentle, her spines not pokey at all, but curled into small, soft rosettes, a heavy shawl draped across her shoulders like a warm, weighted hug. On the low table beside her sat the thing she was never without, a smooth, cool button, round as a river stone. Press it, and the world slowed down. Press it, and the lights dimmed, and the sounds hushed, and the whirling shapes drifted still. She had pressed it 10,000 times over her long life, and not once had anyone asked her to explain why. That was the whole heart of what she carried. Some days the world piles on more and more, more color, more noise, more everything, all at once. And for some of us, more is simply too much. LOL's answer was never push through it. Her answer was the button and the shawl and the quiet that came after. Feeling overwhelmed was not a failure. It was the body being honest, and the button made less arrive the instant you needed it. No questions, no shame. She kept a small stack of picture cards, too. One showed a dimmed lamp, one a hushed speaker, one a slowed down swirl, so that a child who couldn't find the words could just point, and LOL would understand. She heard the winces before she saw the children, a little intake of breath from the doorway, the sound of small people bracing. She patted the cushions beside her and waited, calm as a low tide.
LOL had not always known that quiet was allowed. She had learned it long ago in the village where she grew up. Her family were keepers of the quiet hours, hedgehogs whose task was to watch over the village after dark. When LOL was young, she thought the daytime was the only real time, the market bustling, the drums, the shouting games. The night felt to her like nothing at all, an empty waiting room until the good part came back. One evening, her grandfather took her out into the hushed dark and simply sat with her. "Listen," he said, "not for nothing, for what's here." So LOL listened, and slowly the empty night filled up. The soft rustle of a leaf letting go, the creak of a settling roof, the moon climbing so quietly you could almost hear it. Her grandfather's breathing, slow beside her. Her own heartbeat, slowing to match it. "The loud day is one good way to be," he said. "The quiet night is another. Neither one is the leftover. The quiet isn't empty, little one. It's full, just softly." LOL had felt something in her chest unclenched that she hadn't even known was tight. She had spent so long believing she had to keep up with the loud, bright day that resting was falling behind. Here in the dark, her grandfather was telling her the opposite, that stopping was allowed, that quiet was its own kind of full. She tucked that away and carried it the whole rest of her long life.
She was already old, her spines gone a little white, when she finally walked to Cineforge. Chroma met her at the gate and looked at her a long, tired moment. "The children here feel everything so strongly," Chroma said. "The bright, the loud, the fast, it can crash over them like a wave. I have been looking a long time for someone who won't tell them to toughen up." LOL set her paw over the cool button at her side. "Too much is a real thing," she said simply. "When it comes, the answer isn't to be braver. The answer is less, right away, and with nobody asking why. And the quiet after isn't nothing. It's rest. Rest is work, too." Chroma let out a slow breath, and her tired eyes eased. "Then you'll be the one who keeps this whole place safe," she said. "Stay near. When the waves come, you'll be the still shore."
In her workshop, Lowell showed the children how it worked. "Watch," she said, and turned on a pretend session on the big screen. Colors flashed, a siren wailed, shapes shot across the glass at a dizzy speed. Two of the children flinched, hands halfway to their ears. Lowell reached out and pressed the button. Instantly, the colors melted to soft pastels. The siren faded to a low hum. The shapes slowed until they drifted like clouds. "Feeling like it was too much?" she asked gently. "It gets better the very second you press. Nobody asks you why. You don't owe anyone an explanation. You just press it, and the world gets kinder." Then she cleared the screen to a calm, empty blue and let it sit there in silence. "And this," she said softly, "counts too. Just being here with the blank blue. Just breathing. You don't have to fill it up to be doing something. Resting when it's quiet, that's creating, the same as any bright, loud thing." A small girl near the front whispered, "But what if I need the button every single time?" "Then you press it every single time," Lowell said, without a flicker of doubt. "Once, or always, or somewhere in between. It's yours to use as much as your body asks. Never push through too much. That can hurt you, and it isn't brave. If your body says stop, you rest. You come back later, or not today at all. Your body knows what it needs. Your job is only to listen to it." The children who had flinched at the sirens let their shoulders drop, one and then the other. Their breathing slowed to the pace of the quiet room. In the soft, dim hush, the kind of hush where nothing at all is asking anything of you, they felt safe, right down in the belly where the bracing had been. And that gentle, unhurried calm, warm as Lull's weighted shawl across their shoulders, settled over them like its own small, unhurried happiness.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Lowell. Released under Creative Commons BYNC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.